Chapter 22. Numa Vessel Raleigh. Paul Trout found himself both intrigued and frustrated by the work he was doing. Sitting in the Raleigh's medical center, using it as a makeshift lab, he'd been doing his best to determine exactly what kind of gas they'd pulled from the ruptured pipe. So far, his efforts had been hampered by the properties of the gas itself. Air caused it to burn. So did water. It corroded various metals, including stainless steel, and its slightest touch on the skin burned like acid. The only way to contain it was to keep it in a vacuum-sealed container with a glass lining, or to drown it in nitrogen. Studying it that way stopped the explosions, but presented other problems. Paul removed a tiny probe from the gas-filled test tube and found the end of the probe smoldering like a burned-out match. "How's it going?" Gamay asked. She was across the room, running her own series of tests on the sediment they'd recovered. "My latest experiment melted the sensor," he said dejectedly. "Rudy will dock your pay for that," she joked.
"Not if no one tells him about it," Paul said.
"Lucky for you, I can be bribed." Paul laughed. "This gas is corrosive like an acid and explosive like a petrochemical vapor. When I put a few drops of seawater in with the gas, it split the water into hydrogen and oxygen, and then reacted with the oxygen and caught fire. That's why it ignites while it's still underwater."
"I thought I heard a small explosion."
"Good thing I only used a few drops," he said. "Look." He held up the tempered glass beaker he'd used to perform the test. It was blackened on the inside, and hairline cracks could be seen running through the curved glass.
"You'd better have your safety goggles on," she said.
"You too," Paul said. "I'm only working with marine clay," she said. "You don't want mud in your eye," Paul said, "especially considering that the sediment is mostly..."
"I know what it is," she snapped.
"And you're right. I don't want it in my eye." Reluctantly, Gamay put her safety goggles on and then proceeded to conduct her next experiment. She was trying to figure out what was causing the increased pressure in the sealed beaker containing one of the samples. She scraped a portion of the mud onto a slide and put it under a microscope. Increasing the magnification, she finally saw what she was looking for. Tiny bubbles were forming in the watery clay. They appeared, popped, and vanished, only to be replaced by new bubbles. Raising the magnification to full, she saw the cause of those bubbles.
"Biofilm," she said.
"Is that a new movie?" Paul asked, still looking for a sensor to replace the melted one. "Biofilm is a telltale sign of bacteria forming a colony," she explained. "It's one of the things that makes some strains of bacteria hard to treat with antibiotics. The film is a kind of slime that acts as a barrier. It prevents the antibiotics from reaching the bacteria themselves."
"Meaning what?"
She looked up. "It means there's a large amount of bacteria in the sediment near the pipeline, but not in any of the other locations we tested."
Gamay was the biologist of the family, but Paul knew a thing or two. "Isn't it supposed to be barren sediment down there? Too deep and dark for life to exist?"
"It should be," she replied. "Maybe the heat from the pipelines or some leaking chemicals has become a food source. Or maybe the bacteria is feeding on the volatile gas." She went back to the microscope and raised the magnification. "They're oddly shaped," she said, studying individual members of the bacteria colony.
"How so?"
"Bacteria are usually oval-shaped blobs. These are more like red blood cells. They have a donut-like form." Paul was suddenly more interested in what she was studying than in his own work.
"Maybe we should expose some of the bacteria to a sample of the gas. If their growth rate increases, we'll know that's what the little beasties are feeding on."
"Great idea," Gamay said. She put a sample of the bacteria into a clean test tube, injected some water, and sealed it. As she brought it over to Paul, there was a loud pop. The sound startled her, and she dropped the vial, diving to catch it before it hit the ground. Paul raced around the table and found her lying on the floor with the test tube in one hand and her safety glasses askew. She was staring at the vial. The glass had been blackened on the inside, exactly like the beaker Paul had almost destroyed in his earlier experiment. He and Gamay came to the same conclusion at the same time.
The bacteria aren't feeding off the gas, Paul said.
No, she agreed. They're generating it.